Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Psych Files, what psychology is really all about. Today, I'm going to talk about how are you going to get great grades. There's some new information out, and I'm going to just dive right in. I've got five techniques. First, retrieval practice. The idea here is testing yourself is a lot more effective than studying your notes again. It's much more effective if, you know, because you hear that, right? Students say, I got to look over my notes. Don't look over your notes. Test yourself. All right, we'll go into the little more detail later on. Second one, test yourself again and again. So don't just test yourself once. Do it until you have, you know, you're sort of tired of testing yourself. Number three, explain whatever it is you're trying to learn. Explain it to yourself or to somebody else. So when there's nobody around, walk around the room and talk to yourself. That's how you learn and get things into the old noggin. Number four, distinctiveness. Make sure that you know how whatever it is you're learning is different from something else. You know, you might get questions on a test about compare and contrast. You don't have to call it that. But as you're walking around the room, talking to yourself, try to find out how whatever it is you're trying to learn, how is it similar in some way? How is it similar to some other idea? And how is it different? That's number four. Number five, personal. So apply it to your own life whenever you can. So again, you're walking around, you're talking out loud, people are seeing you. But nowadays, unlike back in my day, you can imagine that those people think you've got a little cell phone in your ear. And you can always claim to have been talking to someone. But as you do that, then make sure, think about, well, in other words, it would be like this in my life, personal. So there's the five. Number one, practice instead of restudy. Number two, practice again and again until you're tired of it. Number three, explain it to yourself or to someone else. Number four, distinctiveness. Make sure you understand how it's different than something else. Number five, make it personal. And the warning, beware of familiarity. All right, so if something sounds familiar and maybe you're studying or practicing and you go, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. You know, it sounds familiar. You do not know it just because you think it's familiar to you, right? You've heard it before. That doesn't mean you know it. And that's what can lead some students to say, oh, I don't need to study that because I've seen it before. Okay, you need to practice recalling it. Okay, so those are the five with the warning. Now, let me just go into a couple of examples about how to use this. Satisficing. I'll go there. All of us have a tendency to satisfice. Kind of a weird word. I think it might come out of the business world, maybe economics. It's the idea that we, you know, look, we all have, you know, things we got to do. We got pressures. We got, you know, demands or whatever. And so we do a little bit of everything we're supposed to do, and we do it just about well enough to get through it. Okay, unless you're really into something. A lot of the things that you have to do, you just sort of do them in the easiest way that you can. And, you know, that's, in part, that's what heuristics are all about. I remember to go back to that episode a couple episodes back. They are rules of thumb, quick ways of thinking that solve our problems. You got lots to do. So we tend to do just what we think we need to and not a whole lot more because we got other things we got to do, at least. You know, we could debate whether those things are important or not, but that's what we do. And so, for example, one of the things I always did when I was a student is I would look through the chapter that I had to read, and, you know, all those boxes and the colorful sorts of stuff and the extra information that have funny names or like apply it or real world. Students love to see those, right? Because we don't read them. Because that means there's a chunk of the page we don't have to read. And pictures are great. Don't necessarily have to look at those. Unless they're cartoons, that might help. But we take a look at the chapter and then start just figuring out how long it actually is by eliminating all the extras, which can backfire because some teachers like to test you on that stuff just to see if you've really read the chapter. But that works only if you really want to get a high grade. And if a C or a B is good enough, then you don't read that stuff. And, of course, when you get to the end of the chapter, you don't take, or sometimes these are placed in the middle, the test yourself sections. You skip over those, figuring, hey, I don't have to read that. And that's one place where that's the one thing, look, if you want to skip all of the sections where the author pontificates about how he applied this knowledge effectively at XYZ organization, when I was out in the real world applying it to the managers, okay, you can skip that stuff, unless your teacher told you he's going to, test you on it. But don't skip those test yourself sections, often in the middle or at the end. You know, the thing is, there's no way to get around it. If you want to do well, you have to be active in your study. And a lot of times the students will say, but I studied it. I studied for 3 hours. You know, it's kind of the thing where a student would come to me and say, oh, I got a bad grade, but I studied for hours. And then we both are sort of looking at each other because that's a conundrum. You studied for hours, didn't do so well. I guess the implication is that the test is bad. Whereas I spend a lot of time putting the test together, so it's sort of like, where are we at? And the one thing that we don't know is how you studied and how active you were in your studying. Because if you're lying on the couch and you're underlining, you know, that's okay. I mean, I do that. Some people tell you don't underline, but I don't know. I can't help it, maybe. I underline. But it kind of goes back to that retrieval practice thing. You can look over your underlines again, that's fine, but you've really got to, if you've got a test, you have got, coming up, you got to test yourself. You have to strengthen, it's, you know, the analogy works, you know, I'm not going to say your brain is a muscle. Your brain, similar to a muscle, if you are going to be tested, then you have got to test yourself, right? You just reading and just looking over your notes is not active enough. Practice recall. So, they've done these studies where they give students, so you come in, you're a subject or participant, and you're asked to read a couple of pages of material. And, you're told you're going to take a test on it. And sometimes you're not. So you got a couple of groups going on here, but in one of these studies, they had students study the material, and then one group came back and studied the material, and then they took a test. Now the other group studied the material, and they came back and tested themselves on the material, and then they took the final test. And that's the group that did better. They practiced the recall of the material. And when you do that, even sometimes, oddly enough, if you get some of them wrong during your self-testing, overall, you're going to get a better grade, okay? Because you have solidified the learning as you have retested yourself, okay? So do that, okay? Don't restudy as much as test yourself, and do this again and again until, you know, there's the it's called overlearning, right? And that's why, you know, I know some students can get by with the cramming thing, right? You're 3 a.m. or something, you're 11 o'clock at night. Okay, you know, my hat is off to you. I know that's a strategy. I know that material that you shoved into your brain is not going to last too much longer than the test that you take the next day. And wouldn't it be great, if you're paying all that money, if you learned it for a longer period of time than just long enough to pass the test? And the other little piece of this is a point really nicely made in some videos that Dr. Stephen Chu, Chew, Samford University, just released a series of, I think it was 5 videos on YouTube. And they're really good videos. They're called How to Study Long and Hard and Still Fail, ... or How to Get the Most Out of Studying. And he's got some excellent points in those videos. And I'll embed one on the site, the one that I like the most. But all of them contain some really good information. And so if you're a student or if you're interested in cognitive psychology, you might want to take a look at those. So again, that was Dr. Stephen Chu, C-H-E-W, Samford University. And it's Stephen was S-T-E-V-E-N. It's all on the website. So one really good point that Dr. Chu makes is that, you know, try to match the way you study to the way you're going to be tested. So if it's going to be, you know, he even admits, if you're going to be tested on facts, then I guess repeating those facts to yourself and asking yourself, you know, what was the date of the first psychological laboratory, 1879, and who was it that set it up? What's his first name? Last name was Wundt. Wilhelm, right? Okay. So if that, you know, so if you know that, and if you know it's multiple choice, true, false kind of thing, then prepare yourself in that way. If, on the other hand, you, and this is the question that seems okay, I never minded students asking me, how are we going to be tested? You know, is it going to be multiple choice? Is there essay? That kind of thing. Because that does, you know, that's a fair question to ask, and it guides the way you practice and the way you study. But, you know, asking what is another way, you know, that students try to sort of satisfice, because that gives them, if they can get that information out of the prof, well, I'm not going to cover that section on XYZ. You know, that can reduce the amount of studying. But anyway, so test yourself in the way that you will be tested. Test yourself again and again until it becomes overlearned. And number three, explain it to yourself. This is the walk around the room and talk to yourself. And if it makes you uncomfortable, put one of those little doohickeys in your ear, one of those Bluetooth things, and pretend that you're talking to someone. But it is, you know, you're teaching yourself. And as the old expression goes, you really don't learn things until you teach them. And in part, that's because of the way that you prepare when you think that you're going to have to stand up in front of people and talk about something. You start talking to yourself. And this happens a lot even with these podcasts. Right, I'm talking to you. I'm not reading off of a script. But this, the information that I'm, passing along here is stuff that I've been reading a number of articles over the past few weeks. And it goes through my head because my brain kind of doesn't shut off too well. But it goes through, and I explain things to myself, and I'm trying to think, well, how is retrieval practice, how is that different from, there was another weird term, I'm going to get to this in just a second, how is deep-level processing different than shallow processing? So get to that in just a second, but, you know, I had to go through that and say, okay, so in other words, those are your key words that you've got to say to yourself. Put your hands over your temples, you know. Close your eyes and go, okay. In other words, deep-level processing would be this, okay, and shallow processing would be that. Right? So it's sort of like those inductive is this, deductive is that. So explain it to yourself or someone else who's willing to listen to you. As you do that, distinctiveness, and that's this, what I just said, compare and contrast. How is this similar to this? You know, even shallow processing. Well, you got shallow water. What does that mean? Well, it's not too deep, right? Deep level processing. Going to go a little bit deeper. So, yeah, I'm making an analogy to water there. You know, how is shallow processing? It's similar to something else that you know. So in other words, it's sort of like a comedy on TV is, you know, pretty shallow in terms of the plot's not that deep. Whereas something like CSI or something got a deeper plot, right? So that they call that distinctiveness. Compare and contrast. And finally, apply it to your life. That's just a good way to learn, is to think about how some things in your life you process in a deep way and others in a shallow way. But you're studying something else, some other topic. See if you can't find an application to your own life. Okay? There's one... Let me just finish on these. Since I just talked about this deep and shallow, very interesting study. Dr. Chu mentions this. It was conducted back in 1969. and yet the results of it are really quite telling. So you are a subject, and you come in, and you are, it's very similar to what I just explained there. You are given a list of words. In fact, in this case, you were given 24 words. And sometimes you were told, here's the words, and you're going to take a test on this later. Or other times you were just said, well, here's the list of words. You weren't told anything about a test. All right, so what they were looking at here is whether or not, if you were told you're going to be tested, does that motivational level cause you to learn more just by itself? But another one, the more interesting one, would be the other two groups. One of them was given this list of 24 words and told, just look at the word and circle it if it contains the letter E. That's all. Just look at it and see if it's got the letter E. Okay, now that's called shallow processing. You're just looking for a letter. The other one, the final condition, is to take a look at these words and think about the meaning of the word. Okay, so there you go. That's the instructions. What does the word mean? And then, in the end, they give you a test. And whether or not you thought there was a test coming or not had no effect. So you don't learn just because you think you might be tested on it. What really made the difference was this deep level processing. So if you were asked to circle the letter E, you weren't very good at recalling what was on that list of 24. Right? You were just looking at the features of the word, the letters. But if you were asked, what does the word mean, then you did things which resulted in deeper learning, right? You probably thought, well, let's see, this word means, maybe you did any of the other strategies we talked about. You related it to something that you know, something maybe about yourself. Okay, a couple of things to end on here. Which would be, and Dr. Chu makes a good point on this too. I've talked about this before. In fact, did an interview with Dr. Daniel Willingham. Don't worry about this learning style stuff. Everybody's talking about learn styles. I'm a visual learner, whatever. I think everyone thinks they're a visual learner these days. Don't let that limit you or even let you feel like you're going to do well because it's visual. What I've talked about here that have come out a number of really, really good articles recently is more important than this learning style stuff. Okay, so just to let you know who these articles were by, I think that's important. The one back, the one that I just talked about with the word lists, that is called The Critical Role of Retrieval Practice in Long-Term Retention. All right, that's the testing effect. That's what it's known as popularly. Henry Roediger. And Dr. Roediger is the big name in this area. Lots of memory and learning research. Roediger, Henry Roediger. And in this case, along with Andrew Butler. Okay. Great article there. The other one, a little bit more recent, from Psychological Science, Diagnosing Criterion Level Effects on Memory. What aspects of memory are enhanced by repeated retrieval? And, this is the one, a little more detail in here than I gave, obviously, in the podcast. But the basic idea here is that don't just test yourself once on a question. And if you get it right, you go, okay, I know that. That's not enough. Get it right and, put it in the back of the pile. Test yourself on it again. I know that, especially if you've made cards, which may or may not be the best way to do things, because you're maybe memorizing things in isolation. And again, if you're not applying it to yourself or thinking actively about what's on the card, then the whole index card approach may not work for you. And of course, there are, index cards are sort of a last century thing. So there's lots of online sites where you can do flashcards. So that's fine. That's good. But if you get it right, don't put it away. Some of them will let you put it in, or get rid of it. Let it come back again in the pile. so that you can really solidify what that word means through this practice. And there's finally one pretty interesting article. Again, Henry Roediger, very active guy. But here, Bridget Finn, Washington University in St. Louis, another APS article came out recently. It's called Enhancing Retention Through Reconsolidation. Negative emotional arousal following retrieval enhances later recall. Now, this is really pretty interesting because essentially what they did here was very similar to other studies. Give students some words to some information to learn. But what they say here is that the amygdala and the hippocampus. Now, hippocampus, we talked about that before, right, is involved in memory. But there's a connection between the amygdala and the hippocampus. And the amygdala deals with emotional part of you. And so what they did, very interesting study, they gave word pairs. So students had to learn Swahili and its English translation. But in some cases, after they got the Swahili English translation correct, they showed them a negative emotionally arousing image, like a gun. And the group that saw some of these negative images had a better recall. And the thinking here is that this arousal of the amygdala helped to consolidate the memory. Now, what do you do with this? Not quite sure. I contacted Bridget Finn, and they're doing some follow-up research on it. So right now it's kind of basic research. Not quite sure what to do with that yet. But it is interesting how there is this connection between those two parts of your brain. And can we use that knowledge to improve learning? All right, who knows? All right, so I just want to make a few final comments before I call it a day. I do have some listener feedback. But again, the five things: retrieval, practice, don't restudy, or do both, restudy and then practice. But practice, and practice yourself again and again. Don't put it away because you think you know it. Overlearn it. Number three, explain it to yourself. Number four, distinctiveness. Figure out how one idea is different from another or similar to another. Personal, apply it to your life. And finally, the warning, beware of familiarity. Now, the final thing I wanted to say, you might have noticed that I did something a little different in this episode. And I wanted to get your feedback if you have time to come to the website. Or just email me, michael@thepsychfiles.com. I've been doing some reading a lot lately. In fact, I'm reading a really good book. It's called Letting Go of the Words by Janice Reddish, R-E-D-I-S-H. And it's a lot about how writing on the web is different than, any other kind of writing, essay writing, textbook writing. Because on the web, people are really more focused on getting the answers to things than, because web reading is not the greatest experience, right? I mean, lengthy, long-form reading. And so it reminded me, I guess one of the reasons why I picked it up is because I got an email from someone, and he said, you know, look, I like your podcast. There's good information in there. But, I feel like you sort of go on and on a bit, and I really would like to see you get to the point. And, I thought about that a lot because there's many different reasons why people come to the podcast. Because at the same time, I'll get emails from people saying, look, I love the podcast. I listen to it on my way to work. Listen to it while I'm mowing the lawn. Listen to it while I'm doing the housework. So some people like the little bit longer and kind of, the connections to other parts of our lives. But I know, I understand what that particular person is saying is because sometimes I'll either on the web or even in print, pick up a magazine and, I have a specific purpose. Maybe the article suggests that there's some interesting new research on schizophrenia. And so, okay, let me take a look at that. Now, if the first paragraph starts out with something like, Bill Smith loves to walk his dog along the beach, then I just like let out a, you know, I just go, oh, geez, it's a human interest story. And I don't have the time for that. I really just want to find out what's new in, schizophrenia. So I'll just try to skip past that human interest stuff, and I'll try to find the paragraph where they, you know, just tell you what it is. And so there's part of me, and that's why I did this episode a little bit different. I said, you know, I want to talk about these five things, some recent research, and a warning. And I was going to do it in much the way that I sometimes do it, which is to take them one at a time and talk about the, you know, got two groups and, you know, subjects did this and that. And I hope that within that, I hope that's somewhat interesting, and I hope that it gives you a sense of how psychological research is carried out. You know, that's one of the goals of the podcast, and one of the things that just simply interests me, which is why I talk about it. And I want to continue to fulfill my goal of having you kind of see this stuff in your daily lives. However, if you come to the podcast with a very, you know, or maybe the website with a very specific goal, you know, you see something, you go, oh, five ways to improve my grades. Oh, great. What are they? And the episode starts with me talking, and, you know, it's just taking too long. So I wonder how many of you have that same kind of feeling. And so that's why I adopted a different style. You know, part of me has even thought about, well, maybe I should have a different podcast. That's part of the reason behind the Psych Files brief. I thought, well, you know, how about this approach? And I've gotten some good reaction to the brief approach, so I'll probably continue that. But is it better maybe to you know, start off the podcast by just kind of go boom de boom de boom de boom, you know, here are the key things you want to know, and then saying, okay, now let's just dig a little bit deeper. And for the people who want to hang in there and listen to that stuff, then they can do that. Well, that's what I've been thinking about. So if you got any feedback, feel free to, you know, send me an email, drop by the website. And I hope to get some more episodes out. I'm in the middle of a show right now. I'm doing Hairspray, and that's just about to wrap up. So I got some thoughts on that and the psychology inside of it. So I may be doing an episode on that. So that's coming up. And I want to thank you. And again, if you have not picked up the Psych Explorer app, I am just stuffing that thing with all kinds of neat stuff. The latest news, videos, and I might even put some of my notes on from this episode in there, because there's a whole section devoted to resources, and that would be things like concept mapping programs and other kinds of tools. But certainly, being a really good studier is part of, you know, a good resource to have. So I want to have that out there. So it's all in there. It's on sale right now for $1.99. It's sort of a beginning of the school year thing. So go into, I'm sorry, it's still an iOS app only, but go into iTunes, and it's PSYC Explorer. Or if you put in the Psych Files as one word, then you'll see all the other. I've got a couple other apps too, one on memorizing the parts of the brain. So trying to put out some good stuff for you to have some fun and continue to enjoy psychology. All right. Thanks a lot. Take care and see you next time.